Hello and welcome to our latest episode of the Impact Rooms. Today I'm joined with Andre Nita, who is a Director of Data and Analytics. Andre has got years of experience in data analytics, coming right through from a full stack developer, and has been a director over the last kind of 5 years. So Andre, it'll be brilliant to hear a little bit about yourself and for you to share some of your experience that you've got as a director of data and analytics there, and just kind of see if we can find a bit more about yourself and how you got to there. But first of all, it'd be good to find out a little bit about you as a person, really, and what you enjoy.
Yeah, hi Barry, thanks for having me. What I enjoy, I guess, doing in my spare time, right? So outside of work, outside of the data space, a couple of things. It always changes. Lately, it's been singing. So I'm part of a choir. It's called Real Voices. We actually had a Christmas concert yesterday. We're going to sing at the BBC Radio London tomorrow at 9:30.
Oh, brilliant.
So if you want to tune in. we'll play one song, one carol, I bet. So lately it's been singing. Another thing that I guess I still do in my spare time, and it's data related, so I'm cheating a bit, but it's pro bono consultations with people who want to break into data or move to their next data step. I actually have two calls today with two recent graduates who are asking, how do we get a role? It's something that is very interesting and very something that I'm passionate about. In the past, I've also, in my spare time, acted as a freelance programming trainer, teaching people Python, SQL, JavaScript. It's been quite a few languages that I've been teaching. Even before that, I used to be passionate about improv. I did actually improv for 2 years professionally. I did it on stage in London.
Wow.
Acting, I did a bit of theater, not professionally, just a few courses and then a few shows.
it's so interesting, though, isn't it, really? Because, data people are generally known as introvert in a stereotypical way. And I think, that the way that data leaders have developed nowadays, you do have to be a very good stakeholder person that can present and hold a room. And I actually, funny enough, I actually did A-level drama and stuff as well. So, and I think, even though, data people are introverted, it is generally, it is something that it's actually a really good thing to actually probably do in your personal time, to give you that self-confidence in a room of senior directors and C-level. So yeah, great stuff. So it'd be great to get a quick elevator pitch on yourself about your kind of journey so far within the data and analytical space and how you got to where you are today, really.
Yeah, that's a very good question. I think with everything, I like to go from the very beginning. So my background isn't in data. I actually graduated from electronics, and that's, that was my major. And I actually worked at Renault for a year and a half until I kind of transitioned to the IT sector.
Yeah.
And from there, I kind of covered everything from tech support to sysadmin, consultancy, full stack development, BI development, and then eventually, when I had that kind of full stack BI role, I realized, data's pretty cool. I think I'll like it. So then I completely transitioned into data, started with data engineering. But, when you work as a data engineer in a small company, you kind of tend to do everything. So, the role is data engineer, but you do data analytics, you do BI, you do ML, you do platform. You do all kinds of stuff. So it's always been broad because I've typically worked for startups or scale-ups. After becoming a data engineer, then I moved more into a kind of tech lead and then lead and then eventually into the director position. So running the whole department up to 15 people. So it was quite a journey that has happened, since I graduated, because it all kind of ties into each other, right? Having a broad view has helped me kind of grow in my role.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. Oh, great stuff. Yeah, and it really interesting to see how that career did go. Say from, you know, engineer, but I suppose this is it, isn't it? Data is everywhere in all different walks of life and all different backgrounds, et cetera, where, you know, engineering and data, they are very, very similar backgrounds. But as I say, I think you do have to have a passion for data to be, you know, to be successful in it, because it is something that, you know, it can be everywhere. It is everywhere. And you to find that niche, it is really exciting. So yeah, brilliant. Great comments there. So fine. Obviously, if people know you, they'll know your passion for data. Obviously, if they don't, I'm sure they know how passionate about data you are already in this conversation. So, but what, as you look forward over the kind of next 3-5 years, even further, I mean, what do you see is kind of the biggest opportunity within data and analytics, you know, obviously after COVID and the last few years as well? And where do you see that kind of biggest opportunity coming from?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I am always one that advocates literacy, data literacy, and data democratization. So helping people get access to all of the data that they need and understanding that data, also data lineage, understanding where it comes from. So I think the sharing aspect will be more and more important in the next 3 to 5 years, because we have quite a lot of tools that store data, process data, et cetera, right? But what we really want is sharing that data with everyone at every point, so everyone has, you know, the ability to make a data-driven decision, which is still lagging, I'll be honest, right now in most companies. A lot of companies think they're data-driven, that, you know, just because they have, let's say, a data lake or a data warehouse, but that's not necessarily data-driven. Is every single decision that you take in your company driven by numbers? Or, you know, whenever you take that decision, do you start your sentence with, I feel, or I think, or what if?
Yeah.
Right? It should start with, well, based on the data that I see right now in front of me, right, the trends are saying that I should do this.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think, yeah, that would be the major aspect moving forward.
It's so true. I mean, you know, I mean, obviously, and this is it, isn't it, really? I mean, I do look back to some of the presentations that the whole country used to sit there and watch back in COVID a little bit, you know, because the decisions that were being made were driven by data. You know, it wasn't what if this happens. It's the data's telling us this. This is what we're going to do to overcome that. And it is so true. You know, so many companies still have this kind of, well, let's just look at a quick look at the data. Let's use it to help us make a decision, but not make the decision. And I think it is so true. You know, data is a great strength and a great opportunity for so many companies as well. Okay, fine. Obviously, we've spoke about your kind of career journey coming from obviously from being a graduate right the way through to becoming a director of data and analytics. But what one piece of advice would you give to someone wanting to progress their career within data analytics and potentially become a chief data officer or director of data and analytics like yourself?
Wow. Okay. It's going to be a long journey. That's the first one. So strap in. I think every single time somebody asks, you know, how do I break into data? How do I become a data engineer? How do I become a lead, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Yeah. I always say, go back to the fundamentals. There's nothing that will be more valuable to you in the long run than the fundamentals. And make sure you have that very, very strong base. Because with a very strong base, you can build anything on top of it.
Yeah.
Don't focus on tools, focus on the fundamentals, I would say. So anyone trying to break into data, you know, go back to a programming language, Python, Java, whatever it is for you. Go back to SQL. Is it at an expert level, the programming skill? Right, the querying skill, is it at an expert level? Then you're in a good place. You know, learn the jargon of data, ETL, ELT, mm-hmm. data warehouse, data lake, etc. Think about, you know, how you're going to interact with stakeholders, you know, how are we going to take requirements, how are we going to implement those requirements, think long term as well. I think those are the main things when you try to break into data. Becoming, you know, a chief data officer, I think that's going to be a much, much longer journey, and it's going to be much, much wider kind of remit that you'll have to kind of cover. But I think with time and with enough experience, you can definitely get there. The main difference, I would imagine, you know, between, let's say, somebody trying to break in and somebody wanting to become a chief data officer would be that at that very senior level, data monetization will be your focus. So getting the most out of the data that you have in the business, finding other data outside of the business, optimizing the costs, maximizing the revenue, finding new revenue streams, maybe giving talks to show what your company is doing out, you know, out there. I think that's going to be what the role of chief data officer will kind of become. More on the revenue and cost side than anything.
I completely agree. You know, obviously so many companies at the moment are looking to, you know, be more effective, be more efficient. You know, obviously, are we in a recession? We're about to go into recession. It's a big question. You know, yes, we are, kind of attitude. And, you know, obviously cost of living crisis and everything going on. So it's, you know, organizations are going to find the next 3-5 year. I was reading an article yesterday that was kind of saying this is going to be like a 10-year plan. They don't see like interest rates and stuff going down to until 2028, to back to below the kind of the level that they've been at. You know, so it is going to be a long journey. And I think you say, you know, companies are going to have to be more effective and efficient. And data is, let's be honest, it's a big expense to any organization. It's not cheap, but, you know, if the cost and the chief data officer is cost and revenue generating focused, then yeah, why not have, you know, just going back to that kind of comment around, you know, data should be the central of the organization and make the decisions on behalf of the organization. So yeah, really is a great point. So obviously, as I say, I've seen your post, and I don't know if anyone else has, you know, you have wrote some very inspirational post around data, and I think you've even been giving kind of some CV help and all that stuff. But, you know, you are inspired by data. We can see that. But what is your inspiration, and you know, what inspires you, and why, really?
I guess in the terms of my post and what I do, it's all about helping people and kind of building the market. You know, looking out there, I've kind of noticed that it isn't at the level where, you know, it should be, the data market. I like to say that data is the new cloud, just because, you know, 20 years ago, you know, people were still thinking, should I move to the cloud? You know, the server that I have in the back room works fine, so why would I pay, you know, Amazon this much money to just move to the cloud? I can just continue doing what I'm doing, right? So data is kind of becoming that new cloud, just because people are thinking, I can take decisions by myself. I don't need to hire a very expensive engineer and a platform guy and an analyst. I can just, you know, get by. Or, you know, I have 10 different databases. I can figure out some reports. I don't need a centralized data store. So data is kind of that new cloud where doing it, so probably I should do it as well. That's one thing that inspires me, you know, putting data at the forefront and not at the back of the room, you know, somewhere tucked behind the IT department. That's really what I'm inspired about.
That's so true, isn't it? You know, having data as that leader and that decision making tool more than something just supports. And you know, I do think, you know, we'll really grow and develop over the next few years. No, yes. Brilliant stuff. Obviously, we are going to we have been in conversation about doing some other kind of sharing of some of your tools and tips and stuff that you've got over the next kind of few weeks and months to come. But was there anything else you kind of wanted to add now before we finish this session?
I guess, yeah, to everyone that kind of wants to know more about data, wants to break into data, needs advice, just follow me on LinkedIn, drop me a message. I tend to do around 1 to 2 consultations every day until the end of the year. So feel free to give me a shout and I'll try to squeeze you in. But if anything, I can still have a quick look over your resume and I'll send you some quick notes. Whatever will be possible. But yeah, I think that's it for me.
Brilliant stuff. Yeah, no, great stuff, Andre. So yeah, thanks very much for joining us on this latest episode of the Impact Room. It was great to get that introduction into yourself and some of the things you've achieved and your advice to people. I say it was a great session and I'm sure people love listening to it. So thank you very much and I look forward to hearing from you soon.
Thank you, Perry, for inviting me. Yeah, it's been great. I loved getting the data message around. So yeah, thanks for having me.
Great stuff.